I want to take our Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew 25, bearing in mind that we're actually considering the eighth commandment, which is, thou shalt not steal. And so we want the New Testament light of Matthew 25 to be shining upon the word of Exodus and Deuteronomy of the eighth commandment and the many other places where the Bible implies or speaks directly to the prohibition of stealing. And so we want to see in gospel light as well what God truly requires in the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. And I believe there's important principles for us today in our thieving age, and we need as well to keep ourselves from stealing, robbing God and the neighbor. So Matthew 25, let's consider this parable of the talents, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. Jesus has just spoken of the parable of the 10 virgins, speaking of waiting on the Lord, waiting for the Lord and being ready, watching. Now he speaks of, in the same vein, in light of the second coming of the Lord, with regard to working for the Lord. So you have this important activity we're to be engaged in before the Lord comes again. Matthew 25, 14 through verse 30, the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For lo, everyone who has, more will be given. And he who have abundance, he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant unto the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus far, we read this word of God, this parable, the earthly story with heavenly meanings of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word to our reflection and to our godly living. Again, we consider the commandments of God, beloved, the will of God for our lives as we go through the regular course of instruction in doctrine and in life in this church. We're glad to do this, that the whole counsel of God may be declared here also for our sanctification. The eighth commandment is right in front of us as we consider this, the commandments of God, you shall not steal. And the first words I would say in this sermon are, stop, thief! Indeed, That's the words that need to be heard in our day. We need these words today because the world is full of thieves, and very few are those who say, "Stop, thief," because if they did, they'd have to stop their own thieving ways. From the government on down to the pauper and the street and to every one of us in between, the word comes, "You shall not steal," and the word comes and it finds us thieving and robbers all the way to the bank and to someone else's bank. Theft is here and there and everywhere, and robbery and pilfering, wasted goods and wasted times, robbery of God and robbery of the neighbor, robbery of identity and robbery of the purse. Indeed, as Martin Luther once said, at the time of the Reformation has to be a reformation of doctrine and of piety and of the purse. And so it is today. We need to hear the word of the commandment, which says, "You shall not steal," which in our own words is saying, "Stop, thief!" We need to hear this. Sadly, we've heard this over and over again. You've heard this over and over, and I've heard this over and over, and the whole world has heard this over and over, because these commandments are written upon the tables of the hearts of human beings. They know this as much as they know that they're not to have other gods. People know you're not to steal others' goods or to rob from God. And yet the word of the commandment has not had its way to work a kind of renewal of life so that there's no thieving. And I want to submit to you today, people of God, that the only way that we thieves are going to be stopped in our thievering is to be arrested by grace. That's the purpose of the gospel, to arrest us, to stop us in our thieving ways, in our idolatrous ways, in our materialism, so that we begin anew, now in the house of God, to be those who give to God's glory, give to the neighbor, are not takers, not thieves, but givers on behalf of Jesus Christ. We need to hear this word. Again, I submit to you as I would submit this sermon for your perusal, not only, but for your commendation and for our sanctification. As young potential thieves, middle-aged ones and older ones, let's hear the word of talents and talented thieves. These are some thoughts I would share with you on the eighth commandment in light of the parable of the talents. First, some principles regarding the eighth commandment, which has to do with our material property and that of the neighbors. And then some theological lessons from the parable of the talents. And then finally, living in the light of the day of reckoning. For surely that's what's in this parable. That's the whole setting of Matthew 25. Well, when the Bible comes to us, once again with the commandment, "You shall not steal," it's reminding us, if we would be reminded, or whether we would or not, but of a great principle behind all of our stuff and all of the neighbors. And it's this: God owns everything. He owns everything, and he allots to each of us according as he will, and we have no right to be robbing from God or robbing from the neighbor, because this is God's own prerogative to give to whom he will. He owns everything. This is clear from the Bible, and I would visit with you some texts, for example, Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, we have, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." Now look at that. The earth, the whole earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, everything, every desert, every mountain, every tropical rainforest, all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein belongs to the Lord. And there you have the inhabited regions. And people belong to the Lord, something people don't want to hear today. We don't belong to ourselves. We are God's property, and he has the right to do with us what he will. Now, again, this is just by creation. Everyone is made by God and is his property and must do his will. And this is the reason is given in Psalm 24 why the earth is the Lord's and why everyone in it is the Lord's. And it is this: for God made it. He's founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Well, there you have a very clear statement of who God is and who we are, and implied in that is our calling to serve this God who has made us and who therefore has a right to do with us what he will. Look at Psalm 50, another place as well, where the Mighty One, the God who is the Lord, is the one who's presented here as the one who's spoken and called the earth into being, and even called Zion into being, which he calls in Psalm 50 the perfection of beauty. And then he speaks to the fact that people ought to be gathering together to worship him and to give offerings. But then he reminds the people, even today in church as we bring offerings, that after all, these things are mine anyway. And what you're bringing here is not adding to my abundance and making me more full and maybe caring for a lack that I have. Rather, you're only giving me the glory in giving these things that I command because I am worthy of all your attention and worship. He goes on to say, and this is very humbling, every beast of the forest, verse 10, is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. And I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine with all and all its fullness. And he goes on to say that this should yield godly piety when we call upon God. And so God here, in the principle of the eighth commandment, behind it is God, who says, don't you steal, don't you be discontent with what you have or go after what other people have, because I'm God, I own everything, and I give to each his own and allot to each his own portion. It's not yours. You may not grab it. You have enough to live. You have enough to glorify me. That's enough. Last I knew today, that's enough too, isn't it, for us? Whatever we have. There's a great principle here about material things and the God who's over the material. When we come to the eighth commandment, it has to do with the stuff on the earth, has to do with what we think of the stuff on the earth, has to do with what we think of the God above the earth. And so we are given, here's another principle, to be stewards of all that we have. That's what God wants us to do. He made all of these things, and then he says, now I give you these things for a while. I give you what you would call your own private property, but it's really not yours. It's yours as a gift to serve me. That's a principle behind this eighth commandment. What you have, what you have alone in peculiar, maybe which nobody else has, or maybe what you share with other people, common breath, a common amount of time, and so on, that's yours, but as a steward of mine. And a steward is someone given the gifts of his master, someone given the property of his master. So it belongs to the master, but the steward has it in his hands. The steward, maybe, who is in the kitchen of a great mansion, is the one who's given the responsibilities and the utensils and the fatted calves to have feasts on behalf of the master and to serve whom he will. And so that's what the steward does. And if you were someone else, you worked landscaping the master's yard, you would do just what the master wanted according to his plan and according to the resources he gives you, the intentions that he has for you with this landscaping. So we are stewards of all we have. We have these things. We're not communist here. It's not like nobody has private property. We have gifts unique to each other, and no one can take them from us and steal them, but they are ultimately God's. That's behind the parable of the talents, as we'll see, but behind all of Scripture. Now, I want to commend to your attention, you who live in this earth and I who live in this earth, I want to speak to myself here, This is a great principle here regarding everything we do, everything we have, every desire for things that we might not have, all the stuff. The principle is, hold on, stop thief, and remember that you are on the behalf of God with your stuff, and that the neighbor is on behalf of the God who created him with her stuff. And you are here with your stuff, or when you're eyeing the neighbor's stuff, to be sure you're serving the God who made you and who gave to you the time, the talents, and whatever else you have. Again, more on that in the parable of the talents that we're going to expound in a little bit here. Now, that means, as Psalm 50 tells us, the cattle on 1,000 hills are God's. That means the worshipers in 1,000 churches are God's. That means the mansions in 1,000 lovely valleys are God's. That means the hearts in 1,000 little heads and big heads or chests are yours and mine. That means the minds in 1,000 heads are God's. All God's. Everything we have. That means the races you run in 1,000 and among 1,000 racers and races are God's. That means the homework you do, students, in 1,000 classrooms is God's. That means the business that you do, businessmen, in 1,000 business ventures is God's. That means the spouse you are to love among 1,000 spouses and marriages is God's. That means the sonata of someone who's a poet or a composer is God's among 1,000 sonatas. I think you get the picture here. That means the time, the seconds you are here, among 1,000 seconds or 1,000 years is God's. It's not yours. It's not yours. And it's yours and it's yours on the behalf of God if we believe the Bible. So this is this truth, and may it sanctify us here. When you're thinking about robbing God or the neighbor, or when you're not thinking about the things you have, except that it feels good to have more, and always that's the case, we want one thing more, stop, thief. Stop, usurper of the rights of God, who has the right to do with anything on the earth what he will, and with the neighbor what he will. Stop when you're thinking that you're discontent because he or she has so much better health than you, and you don't. Lest you forget, God gives health to one, limitations to another, and he's good in this. He's very good and very, very wise and kind God. Now then, principle of God and the godness of God and his ownership is this, leading to practice, for God's sake, we're not to steal from the neighbor. God gives the neighbor this, and he gives us that. We're not to steal from the neighbor. We're not to rob. And the Catechism speaks in old language of the thievery of the day in the 1500s, of robbing by unjust weights and measures, when they used to have weights in the grocery store. And it says it's a pound of flour, and my scale is so made so that's really only a half a pound, but I'm going to charge you for a pound. God says, no, that's an unjust weight and measure. Don't do that. In the banking days, what's prohibited by the commencement in our day is all kinds of fraud and thievery that can go on among the bankers, but also on those who bank or who invest. And I won't get into all of the ways that this thievery can occur, but you think of the identity theft. People are trying to steal who you are and the cards that you have and the social security numbers that you have. Why? To get power from you and money from you and to fleece you of everything you have or everything in your retirement account. The 8th commandment forbids such robbery, outright breaking into houses, robbing banks, in all kinds of ways we can cheat, maybe on a test. God prohibits stealing the neighbor's answer, young people, or those who are older and thinking of stealing the neighbor's answer. He forbids us to plagiarize another thoughts and words and make it our own sermon. He prohibits all of these things because it's not yours to have, he says, this sermon or these answers and so on, and be content with what you have and do your work and use your talents to the glory of God without taking advantage of the neighbor. Rather, promote the advantage of the neighbor. See, that's the principle behind this commandment, especially as those who are loved of God and who know what it is to be given by God, given to by God. Instead of taking from the neighbor, even when he's not nice to you, you don't repay evil with evil, you give. You don't steal from the neighbor who takes your shirt off your back, you give him another shirt or some opportunity for his advancement. There's a positive principle here of those who've been given unto by God, especially those who've been given unto by Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven, then forgive. Don't rob the neighbor of that possibility of his hearing the gospel in your forgiving him. Forgive, but also with regard to his goods. Don't live as if there's no God. Oh, there's so many ways you can apply this commandment, do not steal. It all begins, doesn't it, in what we think of God, how we're using our time and our talents for God's sake, and that's the parable of the talents, indeed. That's the parable of the talents. I get into that now. Here you have, in Matthew 25, and you can follow along if you want, a way that Jesus wants to set forth some principles here and in light of his second coming. And he knows that we're so stuck on things and so prone to be materialistic and to forget everything about God that he reminds us once again of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And here he says it's like a man traveling to a far country. And I want you to know right away, that's Jesus. Jesus is speaking of himself. He's the man that God has appointed to be the great Lord of all the Father has entrusted to him. While this man traveling to a far country, and I believe that would be heaven and his exaltation, is described here, Jesus is described here as calling his servants and delivering his goods to them. So again, he's making his servants stewards. They're going to be on behalf of the Lord of this great mansion, which happens to be the whole world. And to one he gives 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately then he goes on the journey. And again, I believe that's a reference to Jesus going to heaven, to the right hand of God, where he will return, from where he will return later on. In fact, Jesus says, in a long while. Now, let's stop here. Here's what Jesus is doing. Recounting in a parable basic principles of this life. Number one, God is the Lord revealed in Jesus. And he's the one who owns everything. And when this Lord is represented here as calling his servants, magnify that to everyone in the whole planet. God has entrusted to his Son everyone in the whole planet. And when Jesus comes again, he will, on the behalf of God the Father, judge everyone on behalf of the whole planet with regard to the talents that they have been given by him. That's the Word of God. It's the gospel that many people miss, the gospel of judgment and accountability, but it's there nonetheless. The good news that God is God. Do you know that that is the good news, first of all? It's not the good news that heaven is for me. It's the good news that God is God. And so, here we have the cattle on 1,000 hills are God's revealed in Jesus, who says to each, I give to you what I give to you, talents 5, 2, or 10, or 1, to use on behalf of me. That's what the principle is being played out here in the light of the New Testament revelation of Jesus the Lord. Not Jesus simply the Lamb and the meek and mild, but Jesus the Lord repeatedly. That's what's emphasized in this parable. The Lord is doing things here. The Lord is going to a far country. The Lord exalted to the right hand of God, who died for sinners and is exalted to the proper place of glory that is his in his divine nature and in his perfect, obedient human nature. Well, Jesus gives these talents. And he gives these talents, and I believe here there's a gospel magnification even of his giving, say, to the first five talents and to another two and then to the other one. And I mean by that, the salvation of the gospel is magnified here, because those first two fellows, representing all kinds of people who are saved, are the ones who know not only Jesus is Lord, they know him as Savior. And they have five talents, and they have two talents, and they are happy to serve God in those five and two talents. And then the numbers don't matter here. They're not the significant things. But the fact that they have them is. The fact that they are rewarded in grace for using them well is a wonderful, significant thing. We are the people of God. And the people of God here are represented as knowing that this Jesus who goes to the far country will return for them and he will bless them. And that meantime, they get to serve him. They're happy to serve him. In fact, when they come and they show Jesus the five talented one and the two talented one that what they've done, they say, "Look, Lord, look what I did." And you have that in verse 20. So he who had received the five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, "Lord, you've delivered to me five talents, and look." And then the one who has the two talents says, "Look, I've gained two more." And it's like they're excited children. They come to this Lord and say, look, isn't this great? Your five talents, your two talents you gave to me, I invested them, I served you in my time and talents, and look, I have two more. And it's all to your advantage, Lord, all to your glory, and I'm so happy that I could do that. And then the Lord says, of course, "Well done, good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy in the Lord," and it's a happy thing. And so we're reminded of something here, that as stewards of the things we have and called to serve God and called to love the neighbor and promote his advantage even to our hurt, don't fret it. Don't chafe at it. Don't mind the fact that you're servants, because also you're sons. That's what's hidden underneath this parable here. Jesus is calling the sons to remember that service is not a hard yoke to bear. It's a great thing on behalf of the Lord. So he gives talents. Jesus does. What are those talents? Everything you have. Five talents, two talents, one talent, gazillion, half a talent, everything you have. Now that's the word there that was used for money often, sometimes for weight, but for money and a lot of money. It's said that one Greek talent, one Attic talent, would be maybe something for which a poor man would work 20 years. A lot of things. Be that as it may, it's represented as a gift. The Lord gives the gift that's his own property to each one. To one five, to one two, to one one. He gives the gifts. And again, they're not explained here what they are. They're money. But certainly they represent everything we're given. And everything we're given is some of these talents. Some of these opportunities, that's included here, with which we're to make use of them for the service of the Lord. That's the point here. Our minds, do you have a good mind? Do you have a halfway mind? Is your IQ 180 or 80 or 120? Doesn't matter. That's a talent you're given. That's some kind of ability you have. You can expand it to athletic prowess. Do you have a good body? Do you have good health? That's a talent. That's an opportunity as well that God's going to give you to serve him with. And some of you have a lot of talent. In general, five talents, maybe two, maybe one. Some of you have a lot of intellect. Maybe some of you don't. Some of you have opportunities because you're single and married folks don't. Some of you have families and your talent is to raise the children. Some of you don't. Doesn't matter. to each, look at this, here's the principle of stewardship. The Lord gives according to his ability. According to his ability. Each one has just the amount of talents they can handle. And then just the opportunity to use those things. Very, very important here. This is the principle of stewardship played out in the New Testament in light of the fact that the Lord has come and the Lord who is the Savior of his own, but he's still the Lord and judge, and he's going to cast into hell those who use talents wickedly, and he's going to say to those who feebly but faithfully have used his talents in the service, enter the joy of the Lord. How about you? Business talent? Sermon-making talent, Bible study-leading talent, making cookies talent. It doesn't matter, and it's not that anything here you see is insignificant. No. Not speaking of, well, talents to have a ministry maybe in the church, and they call it ministry, and the one who's in the home and scrubbing the floors doesn't have talent here. No, everything here is described as a talent if it is can be used of you to serve the Lord. Everything. Doesn't matter what capacity. There isn't the special sacred callings and the lowly secular callings. They're not married. They don't matter. It's all here, given indiscriminately, but each according to his ability. You may have some, be content with that. You may have a lot, be humble about that, because they're talents given and they're not for you. And that's the first principle here. And you want to understand the commandments, even the second table of the commandments with regard to the neighbor? Think of God first. Think of God. You shall not steal. And here's the whole point of the parable. Don't rob God. Because that's what the one with the one talent did. The men, the women, whoever they were, with the five and the two talents, they served their master. They knew exactly what he wanted. They went and caused the kingdom of the master to flourish wherever they went. They increased 100%. Five talents gained five more. Two talents gained two more. Not told how long the master took to return, but it was a long time, he says. But the one was afraid. And there is something very scary here. The one who'd received one went and dug in the ground. He buried his money, hid the Lord's money, verse 18. And after a long time, the Lord came and he blessed the one servant, the two servants. But then the one came. He had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, verse 24. And that word for hard is scleros. We get the hardening of the arteries from that is really hard and harsh and tyrannical. That's what this man is saying of the Lord. I know you're a hard man, he says, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I had every reason to be afraid because you're so hard and you're not going to be kind to me if I lose this talent. And so I hid it. I hid it. And look, Lord, what you have is yours. Now, what does the Lord say to that? And that's Jesus. What will Jesus say to that? Look here. Here's what he says. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Hold it a second. That's what the servant thought. It wasn't true, though. The Lord Jesus, you see, he reaps where he has sown and he gathers where he has scattered the seed, even through his people. He's gathering right now. He's sowing right now. He's going everywhere. He doesn't, you see, reap willy-nilly, but as he scatters and as he sows the seed, he is very just. The one with the one talent had it all wrong. He was lying. And Jesus, hard? Jesus, Pharaoh, who made the people make their bricks and gather the straw that was not there? Jesus, that way? No. He gives according to your ability. He gives opportunities for you to serve the Lord with those abilities that he gives. And the problem with sinners is that they're lazy and rebellious and they don't want to serve their Lord. That's the point. And that, you see, is behind all thievery. Why do people steal from other people? Because they're robbing from God. They're not content with what God has given. Why is there the unrest in the Middle East and in the Middle West? Why is it? Oil, power, and all the stuff we can have. Way of life. Liberties we think we have rights to. So we rob here, we rob there. In the name of this or that, we think what we're doing is right. In the name of equality, government robs from the rich. Robin Hood, to pay the poor. Is that fair? Is that the government acknowledging that God gives to each whom he will or what he will, that there are some poor and they will be poor all the time, just as Jesus says? Isn't that the principle of justice and fairness and equity? The principle that we're taught here in this parable. You have it on and on. It's all about, you see, this lack of the application of true theology. And isn't that what we're saying in all these commandments? People don't know God. They don't want to know God. Why is there thievery, robbery amongst people? Why? Because people rob God of his honor. They don't get why they're here. They don't get why they don't have all the stuff that the neighbor has. They don't get the principle of contentment because they don't like God as their Lord and they don't know God as their Savior. Praise be to God, people of God. By the grace of God, we do. We've been arrested. And if you be Christ, you've been arrested. You've been stopped in your thieving ways, brought to your knees, and led to confess, Jesus, my Lord, you're my Savior. I trust in you. And all that I have, Lord, all the talents I have, and maybe they're only a tenth of a talent, doesn't matter, I'm going to use for the service of your God, Jesus, and my God, your Father, and mine. And I'm not going to rob from the neighbor. I'm not going to even look at the neighbor's wife or the neighbor's car or the neighbor's machine and covet those things. Because I'm glad that God has given the neighbor that and given me this. I'm glad that I'm only this smart and not that smart because I'd be proud. I'm glad that God has given me abilities and so on so that I can serve. That's what the parable of the talents is all about. And always with a watchful eye, you see. With a watchful eye to the day of reckoning. That's what Jesus is teaching here. He's warning all of us. If we say that we are God's people, if we say that we're disciples, is Jesus our Lord or the stuff of the earth? Are the material goods of this earth riding us, controlling us? Or are we those who are stewards of God's things on his behalf? That's the point. And are we happy? Are we happy? Are we expecting that we will get to serve God more in the next life? Are we waiting for Jesus to come and say, no, you haven't earned anything, but I grace you anyway? Is that how we look at things? We should. Because all the work we do for the kingdom is not going to amount to a hill of beans or a pile of merit before the face of God. We present it as a thank offering with broken spirits, contrite hearts, saying, Lord, we've done all we could. We've failed miserably. We've had talents. We've abused them. We've been lazy when no one was looking. And there we were surfing the internet. We should have been in the fields working. We've done this and that, and we'd have to say, Lord, I don't get it. Why you'd have anything to do with me? And God says, you know what? You're a good and faithful servant because I've begun to work something in you, in your mind. And it's not what you've owned that matters. Not what you've done with what you've owned that matters. But first of all, what matters is that I own you now by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has bought us, dear ones. He's bought us. And he's bought up all that we have. He's now sending us opportunity so that we can redeem the time and make the sonatas and put our hand to the plow and make a sermon and discuss things together and serve the Lord together by grace. Happy family. Happy stewards. Talented ones. No longer talented thieves. Talented children. And I'm looking at them. Praise the Lord. Amen. We pray, Lord, that you would bless for Jesus' sake the word of him that we would hear now echo in our hearts and prick us of our thieving ways, but encourage us in the way that we would follow of being faithful stewards of what we have and respecters of the property of others. Lord, for your sake, we pray, for your sake, we pray to be able to handle the stuff we're given and the stuff we're not, thinking all the time of how great a God you are to give us anything, any time, any breath here below, whether 1 year, 86, or 100. Hear our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.